It's good to be here this morning once again as we're here to study the Word of God and grow towards perfection. And I want to thank you all for your faithfulness and just continue to be faithful. I'm reminded of Jesus when he said that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. And we just need to accept that it's just going to be a few who's going to obey God.
Amen.
Enjoy the song service, and the prayers should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I want to continue my thought on the subject, part two, when knowledge of God is wasted. When knowledge of God is wasted. Now open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We'll begin reading. Romans chapter 1. And Romans 1:21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. When knowledge of God is wasted. And we'll read down to verse 23. Romans 1, 21 through 23. Because although they knew God, in other words, they knew about the existence of God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And this word futile means that easily pours out, useless, vain. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So everybody knows about the existence of God. And we dealt with, when knowledge of God is wasted, man refuses to glorify God. We're not going to go back over that. We talked about that a week before last. Refuses to be thankful. Ignore God's wisdom. And that can bother. That can bother us. When people just ignore God's wisdom, it bothered Peter. I believe it was Peter. Said it bothered him. Let's see what we got here. And we're going to be dealing with these right here. Changes the truth of God into a lie. That's what I want to deal with this morning. Changes the truth of God into a lie. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 of 1 Timothy. When man changes the truth of God into a lie. Now watch this here. These are some good scriptures here that we'll be dealing with. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Now he's talking about Christians now. I believe he's talking about people who were baptized into Christ and they're Christians. Departing from the faith, this system of faith, the New Testament. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Now he's dealing with anyone who goes against the word. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now look at the next verse. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. Underscore that. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. All right. Verse 1, Paul, he says here that in the latter times, now there is no difference in the latter times and the last days. Of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Let's look at that. There's no difference there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Those perilous times are dangerous times, the troublesome times. And for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. But he says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. In the latter times, there is no difference in the latter times and the last days. Of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, in these last days, in the Christian dispensation, he said these perilous times are going to come and these things are going to happen. And he was telling Timothy that they're going to happen in your day. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read this again. 1 Timothy 4, and look at verse 1 again. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. There's some people you're not going to be able to reach. We might as well accept that. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving of those who believe and know the truth, for every creature of God is good. Food, this animals to eat. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Now remember now that in the latter days, or latter times, I want to emphasize that, there is no difference in the latter times and the last days. This term includes the whole time from Pentecost, Acts 2:17, till the second coming of Christ, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, which I'm not going to read those scriptures. The prophecies is that throughout the last dispensation of time, apostasy will occur, a falling away. Verse 1, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, doctrines of devils. The cause of these corrupting practices is that some will follow their deceitful and misleading spirits. Actually, the word spirit stands for false teaching. So we have to be very careful about what we teach. Remember 1 John, I didn't put that up there, but 1 John chapter 4 and 1 says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Amen. The false prophets have having people believe that you can be saved in any church. I'm not going to deal with the church this morning, but you can't be saved in any church. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verses 3 through 5. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Now this is what the Bible says. Somebody says, "You, that's what you believe." Well, I mean, I'm just teaching people what the Bible teaches. I'm just reading the Bible. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified means set apart. Watch this. Marriage, eating food, are to be enjoyed as the believer recognizes their proper determination before God. He put it here for us to eat. Now I know under the old law there's certain meat they couldn't eat, but that was under the old law, and he did that for a purpose. But today you can eat any meat you want to eat. God wants his children to obey him so we can enjoy life. Because you can't enjoy life disobeying God. He commands male and female to marry. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Before a man and woman marry, they neither like one another. I just believe that with all of my heart, they neither like one another. And then they need to be compatible. If they are not compatible, it's probably not going to work. They need to be compatible. Now I'll say this, I would not advise a man marrying a woman who's 30 years younger than him. They may not be compatible. I'm just being honest with you. He probably done all his sightseeing and vacation and trips and now he done seen all of that. And so now he's pretty cool. He's laid back and he done seen all of that. Now she's ready to see it and he may not want to go. Not compatible. I'm talking about the age difference, a big, long age difference. And so it is, they need to be compatible. If not, there will be a lot of conflict. They need to kind of like the same things. Marriage is a commitment, and it works when people obey God's word. Some people are not meant to be married. Paul wasn't married, was he? He spent all of his time in the ministry. He didn't want to be married. Because when you're married, you're going to care about the things that you may please your wife. A lot of your time is going to your family. Paul didn't have a children, so all his time went to the ministry. And it's okay if a person don't want to be married. Now marriage, God ordained it. Genesis 2, 22 through 25, I'm not going to read that. But Adam and Eve were married. Now I'm going back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. These false teachers, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Forbidding to marry. See right there? Forbidding to marry. This is a specific prediction of the doctrine of Rome. For no one of the clergy of that institution, from the Pope down to the ordinary priest, is permitted to marry. And these guys don't care what Paul said or what the Hebrew writer said. in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, where it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But marriage is honorable among all. The Catholics don't care what Paul said about this. The so-called priests don't care. And then they don't get married, and then they get into trouble. And you know what I mean. When knowledge of God is wasted. Knowledge. I didn't agree. Put this down here. Knowledge of God is wasted when man worships the creature. He worships the creature. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, he worships the creature. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, you remember when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, he was hungry. And Satan tempted him, but Jesus never yielded to those temptations. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Remember those temptations? Jesus was hungry, and Satan tempted him, and Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 3. And then verse 5. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, and so on. And Jesus didn't yield to those temptations. And he had scripture in his heart, and we have those scriptures in our heart. We got to act on them. See, Jesus had them, but he acted on them. Sometimes we can have those scriptures and not act on them. So he says there in verse 10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Amen.
That's what he said there. Now, 1 John 5:21. 1 John 5:21. The Apostle John, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's what that's going to say over there. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Idolatry was rampant, growing, it was increasing, unchecked, it was widespread in the days of John. I mean, it was gone, this idolatry. And the danger exceedingly great, and some of the saints would yield to the seductions and allurements of the worship which attended it. There were those who would yield to the idols. Though the apostle must have had primarily in mind graven images, those fabricated by men, we must not overlook the fact that anything is an idol. When you worship it, put it in our hearts, whether it be a person, property, or pleasure. Whatever we put before God is going to be an idol. And God don't want us worshiping idols. But God want us to, we want to keep in memory, knowledge of God is wasted when man fails to obey God. In James 1:22-24, those are scriptures that we are familiar with. Let's look at that one. We're almost done here. That's number 6. Knowledge of God is wasted when man fails to obey God. In James. Look what he says here. Verse 20, James 1 and 22. James 1 and 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You can get a picture of a man working on his automobile. Maybe he got dirt on his face. And then he goes to the mirror and he sees that his face is dirty. And then he looks at the mirror and turns around and forgot what he saw. What good did it do him to go to the mirror if he wasn't going to wash his face? James is saying, what good will it do for me or anyone go to God's mirror and read the word of God and yet not make changes in our lives? He says in verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So when we read it, we have to remember it and practice it. In Matthew chapter 7 is my next scripture. Matthew chapter 7, I feel like I've missed something, but I guess not. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Amen.
He hears the word and then he obeys the word. He's like a wise man. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I can get a picture of what he's talking about here. See, when the rains of life comes in our lives, and the floods and the winds beat on our lives, and believe me, sooner or later, it's going to do some beating on you. It's going to do some beating on me. Life. We will stand because we obeyed the word. See, you can get a picture of that. But look at verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, you can get a picture of man who builds a $1 million house on the sand down in Florida, Miami, or whatever, Tampa. A $1 million house, Brother Davis, he builds it on the sand. Boy, that wouldn't be wise, would it? Look at verse 27. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What do I expect if I build a house on sand? It'd even be here in Kentucky. And don't dig a good foundation and lay the foundation, I'm asking for trouble. Any man who does that. When knowledge of God is wasted, knowledge of God is wasted, this is the last one. When man refuses to live righteous, and remember, in dealing with people, and God, we read in other scriptures that God will eventually give people up. I don't like that, but God don't care what I don't like. But he will eventually. Romans 1:28, he eventually give people up. In Romans chapter 1, let's get there. Let me get over there. Romans chapter 1, have Acts and then Romans. Romans chapter 1. But God will eventually, after he done told people and they don't listen, and God will give them up. But we read in other scriptures where God will eventually give people up. In Romans chapter 1, look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Here in this verse and verse 24 kind of go together. Therefore, God also gave them up. See right there? God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves. Look at verse 28 there. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. God gives them up. You know, it hurt me. Because I know some of my kin people done gone on, and they was in some of this stuff. Died outside of Christ. But there's nothing I can't be meditating on that and dwelling on that, because there's nothing I can do about that. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing I can do about that. That's God's business. I just need to stay out of his business. Now, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want it. The word retain means to keep in possessions, to hold in, to keep in mind. They didn't want God. There are those who don't want God in their lives. They'll tell you, take it to somebody else. Amen. I've had the lady doing some personal work one time. She's a member of the Baptist church, and I was trying to explain to her, you can't be saved in the Baptist church. It's not in the Bible. And she said, honey, take that to someone else. I don't need it. She told me that. So I left. We left. I wasn't by myself, but the others with me. They don't want it. They don't want to hear that you can't be saved in that church that you're in. It's not in the Bible. The teaching's not in the Bible. Christ didn't establish that institution. And then they tell you, just go on, leave me alone. And there was people who told Paul, go away. Just go on, Paul. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. I think it was King Agrippa, one of them guys. Don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Unmarried people. Unmarried people should not want to date someone who don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Why would people want to date somebody, a Christian, date somebody who don't want God in their lives? They're asking for trouble.
Amen.
Sometimes people don't know. That's why gospel preachers, we need to teach people. If that person do not want God's word in their hearts, and you're dating those people, or that person, that's the time to get that straight before you get married. Mm-hmm. I believe in getting religious beliefs straight before you get married. Because people, after marriage, they do very little changing, people. God gives all men freedom of choice. We have a freedom of choice. Choose God and spiritually live forever when we choose him. Choose the life of Satan and live with him forever in hell. Everybody has a choice. And like Paul said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want him. God gave them up. And if God gives them up, nothing I can do about it. There's nothing you can do about that. And there's no need to worry about it. There may be someone here who, well, everybody's here Christians. But out there, if you're not a child of God, and you need to become a Christian, you've heard the gospel, need to believe it, need to repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with Christ in baptism. If you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, just come on back home. And God is, he wants everybody saved and he'll take you back. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the God that we serve. So the prodigal son went off and done his own thing, but he came back. Amen. And the father accepted him and put him right back in his proper place. And he'll do anybody like that who repents, confess, and repent of their sins. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, please come while together we stand to sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.